Well, let me begin with a question. How did our Bible reading today strike you? Did you find it familiar? A little odd, perhaps? Surprising? Now, some of you have probably been part of churches for many, many years, and this reading seemed familiar. Perhaps the subject matter was all too familiar. Some of you perhaps are very new to the Christian faith, and it may have seemed a little odd. Some of you may have been brought along today by your colleagues. You've never heard the Bible read before, and you found it surprising. We heard about quarreling. We heard about judging. We heard about treating others with contempt. Does it surprise you that the writers of the Bible talked about these things? Does it surprise you that Christians still need to talk about these things? Well, Christians can be prone to disagreements. That doesn't come as news to some of you. Now, we all know that when you get any group of people together, be it in a workplace, be it in a community group, in a home, or yes, even a church, you will find things to disagree on. I mean, some of that's just very simple. We like things the way we like them. Some of us have strongly held opinions on a variety of matters that don't always match up with the strongly held opinions of other people in our close circles. And in the church, sometimes we have different perspectives on how we live out our faith. And that's exactly what's going on in our passage today. People who have different perspectives on how to live out their faith. That's the diversity that's being specifically addressed. Our passage today is actually the whole of chapter 14. And it was written by the Apostle Paul, and he wrote it as a letter to a group of Christians, the church, followers of Jesus in the city of Rome. Did you notice throughout that he keeps using the word us? He's doing that deliberately. Now, a little earlier in the passage, he does contrast two different groups of people, but both groups are part of us. And in verses 10, 15, and 21, he talks about brothers and sisters, by which he means other Christians. So Paul is not speaking about beliefs or actions that disqualify people from being part of the Christian community. He does that in other places, but he's speaking about disagreements that Christians have amongst each other. Now have a look back to verse 1 of chapter 14. What does he call these disagreements? He calls them disputable matters. Except the one whose faith is weak without quarreling over disputable matters. As I said, these aren't questions or subjects that get at the core of our faith. For instance, he's not talking about the identity of Jesus and what Jesus accomplished on the cross. He's not talking about the doctrine of the Trinity. He's not talking about the inspiration of Scripture. Again, he does that in other places, but not here. Here, he's talking about vegetarianism, consuming alcohol, celebrating sacred days. It seems likely that there were Christians in this particular church in Rome that still felt they ought to keep some of the Jewish ceremonial law. Yes, they were followers of Jesus, yet they still did not feel they had the freedom to give up some of these practices. But then they came into the church in Rome. And that was creating conflict because other people, other Christians in the church, were exercising their freedom and had, in fact, given up some of these practices. So it seems, as we read through, that the vegetarians were scandalized that other Christians were eating meat, and the meat eaters were kind of looking down at the vegetarians, going, well, you people, if your faith was a little stronger, you could have a good steak, just like me. But what does Paul say in verse 1? Accept them. Accept them. Why? He tells us in verse 3. Because God has accepted them. Again, we're talking about disagreements between Christians here. And not just the church down the road, but people in the same community, in the same fellowship. Accept them because God has accepted them. And how do we do this accepting? Well, we do this accepting without quarreling, right? We don't just accept them in order to get them into the room so we can sit them down and straighten them out. That's not what he's talking about. We accept them without quarreling because God has accepted them. So we don't treat them with contempt. We don't judge them. He goes on to say, God has accepted them. They are his servants. And by the way, so are you. And since when do servants judge each other? It's not their place. It's the place of the Lord. Remember verse 12 that Davina just read for us. So then, each of us will give an account of ourselves to God. God will be the one who does the judging of his servants. He will judge you and he will judge me. We don't need to do that to one another. Now, if we just left it there, it might sound a little individualistic. It might sound as if Paul means this whole Christian thing, it's just between me and God and you don't get any say in how I live my life. That's not at all what he's talking about. Look down again in verse 19 to 21. Let us therefore make every effort to do what leads to peace and to mutual edification. Do not destroy the work of God for the sake of food. All food is clean, but it is wrong for a person to eat anything that causes someone else to stumble. It is better not to eat meat or to drink wine or to do anything else that will cause your brother or sister to fall. This isn't individualistic. This isn't just about you and God. It's about peace between people. It's about mutual edification, building one another up, encouraging each other's faith and maturity in Christ, truly being brothers and sisters, not causing the other to stumble for the sake of my freedom, not putting an obstacle in their path that could hinder or even wreck their faith. Exercising your freedom in Christ means being free to not partake in certain activities, as well as being able to enjoy them. And why would we choose not to exercise our freedom? Well, verse 15 tells us, because we love our brothers and sisters. We love fellow Christians. We don't want to distress them. We want to encourage them and build them up. And this kind of love may even cause us to recognize a freedom in others that we don't ourselves have. We recognize that freedom, even if we don't have it. Remember, God has accepted them, so we accept them. Now, you may be saying to yourself, Paul, I have no strong desire to conform to Jewish ceremonial law, and I'm not a vegetarian. So what could this possibly have to do with me? And I think that's a fair question, but did you see, as I just read verse 21? Have a look at that again. Maybe you caught it the first time. It is better not to eat meat or drink wine or do anything else that will cause your brother or sister to fall. Anything else covers a lot of territory, right? The first few verses look rather specific, and all of a sudden Paul completely expands it to, or do anything else. Oh, okay. That narrows it down for me. And remember, we're talking about disputable matters here, and anything else applies here too. And it may even apply to that thing that you feel the need to quarrel over, but we'll get to that in a minute. Right? I mean, if we went around in this room, if we spent enough time together, we would find things to quarrel about. I suspect. I'm pretty sure of it, actually. Well, let's start with music. Christians love to quarrel about music. It's true, they do. I've been in music ministry for about 25 years on two different continents. Christians love to quarrel about music. That's the way it goes. The classic Christian quarrel over music is hymns versus choruses, right? Some of you don't have a clue what we're talking about. Excellent. Good. Leave it. That's fine. And then again, no one really sings choruses anymore, so hymns versus songs. I mean, perhaps you took issue with the version that we sang of Amazing Grace. Right? There was some updated language. That's not exactly what John Newton wrote. And that last verse, when we've been there 10,000 years, John Newton didn't write that. That was added later. There is another fourth verse and at least one or two others, but that verse he didn't even write. And some of you are thinking, why wouldn't we sing the original? Right? Disputable matters. We accept one another, even in that. But that is something, let me tell you, that people quarrel over. And I've been guilty of that myself. Some people I know of are very happy when they walk into this church on a Sunday morning and they see that the organ is still closed. Other people would love to set my guitars on fire outside on the steps. I'm not joking. Some people take issue with this painting behind me. They see it as some sort of graven image, whilst others love having this reminder of the particularity of the incarnate Jesus, the unique Son of God. Some of us might feel it's wrong for Christians to drink alcohol. Some of us go to the pub on Sundays after church, right? We'd all have different ideas about these things. In this room, we could easily disagree on baptism, what it is, how it should be done, and who ought to receive it. The Lord's Supper, church leadership structures, eschatology, written or spontaneous prayers. What kind of films can we watch? Can we watch films at all? And you have your own list in your head of how all of these things work. Now, Paul isn't saying that none of these things are important or that any of them are completely unimportant. They have their place and they can be discussed. Earl Palmer, a pastor and a commentary writer, says this: though the distinctive concern, the particular issue, the particular disputable matter, though it may be valid when viewed as part of the larger whole, it does not have the substance to become central. As the old saying goes, we need to keep the main thing the main thing. So do you struggle in your relationship with other Christians? Yes, that's a rhetorical question. Perhaps there is another Christian in your workplace, but they go to that church, right? You know the one I mean. The church that does everything differently than your church does it. And we all have those churches. And for some of you, this is one of those. What do we do then? Perhaps this other Christian is always talking about their favorite pastor's blog. Has that ever happened to you, or is that just me? But now their pastor is having a quarrel with your favorite blogging pastor. What do you do then? Can you actually see them as brothers and sisters, or do you feel free to carry on that quarrel in your workplace, in front of your colleagues? This stuff happens all the time. Is it a disputable matter? Yes? Well, accept them. Without quarreling, because God has accepted them. And if that reason, because God has accepted them, isn't a good enough reason, have a look at verses 5 to 8, please. Verse 5, one person considers one day more sacred than another. Another considers every day alike. Each of them should be fully convinced in their own minds. Whoever regards one day as special does so to the Lord. Whoever eats meat does so to the Lord, for they give thanks to God. And whoever abstains does so to the Lord and give thanks to God. For none of us live for ourselves alone, and none of us dies for ourselves alone. If we live, we live for the Lord. If we die, we die for the Lord. So whether we live or die, we belong to the Lord. Did you see it? To the Lord, for the Lord, over and over again. Why else should we accept those Christians who differ from us over disputable matters? Well, because both of us are living to the Lord, for the Lord. We've prayed about this issue, whatever it might be. We've sought the scriptures, thought about it, and have become, as verse 5 says, fully convinced in our own minds. Now, Paul may be assuming a lot there, because some of us in these disputable matters certainly haven't prayed, sought the scriptures, maybe haven't even thought about it particularly hard. We haven't become fully convinced in our own minds. Sometimes it's our emotions that are driving this thing. But Paul is saying we've done all of these things. We've become fully convinced in our own minds that this is how we ought to respond. And as a result, on that issue and our entire lives, we live to the Lord. And then we recognize that the other Christian with whom we may want to quarrel is also living to the Lord. And if we're living to the Lord and they're living to the Lord, then we have to consider them a brother or sister and respond to them in love. It's just the way it goes. So, as we interact with other Christians in our respective churches, and there are many represented here, as we interact with other Christians here, week by week, in this service, as we're having lunch together, as we interact with other Christians in our workplaces, perhaps in our own homes, whether that be family or flatmates, there will be disputable matters. And we will want to quarrel. But our Bible, God speaking through our Bible, says instead of quarreling, accept them, because God himself has accepted them. Recognize that you are both living your lives to the Lord, and so he will be there and your judge. And use your freedom to build up their faith. Acknowledge their freedom, whether you share it or not. And as verse 19 tells us, make every effort to do what leads to peace and to mutual edification. And as we close, have a look down with me at chapter 15, which the first number of verses kind of carry this theme along. Have a look at verse 5. And as I read it, let's pray this for ourselves, for those around us. May the God who gives endurance and encouragement give you the same attitude of mind towards each other that Christ Jesus had, so that with one mind and one voice, you may glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Accept one another then, just as Christ accepted you, in order to bring praise to God. Will you pray with me? Father, that is our prayer today as we leave this place, that we will be those who accept one another, that unity will mark our faith, and division won't. May we have the same attitude as Christ Jesus had. Lord, teach us once again, continually, how to love one another for the sake of your name and your praise. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.